thrilled now to be joined by my good buddy, Jay Randolph Jr., who 2012 was not kind to us. We did not share a dinner table or a bar stool in 2012. We're going to change that in 2013, Junior.
No question about that. We will find each other somewhere along the way. Happy New Year to you and all your listeners.
And Happy New Year to you. How's the world treating you?
Outstanding. It's a little chilly in St. Louis, but that's all right. Golf is ready to begin tomorrow, and the St. Louis sports scene is going good. The Rams are getting better, and college hoops, we got the Missouri Tigers, and the St. Louis University Billikens are not too bad either.
And one of the local products will make his PGA Tour debut next week at the Sony Open.
Yeah, he sure will. Scott Langley, a young man from Baldwin, Missouri, in the suburbs of St. Louis, a left-hander with a lot of game. John, he's one of those kids that came out of college. He was the NCAA champion, and we've seen before where it takes some guys a little time to get their feet under him. He did make the cut this past year at the United States Open. He's proven now making two cuts, being low am at one time in a U.S. Open out of Pebble Beach, that he's ready. And to hear him, we interviewed him the week before PGA Tour qualifying school, and really the last PGA Tour qualifying school as we've known it. And I just was so refreshed by his attitude. I mean, he was looking forward to it. He was tweeting during the tournament after round three. He said how much fun he was having. And I know that you've been there and you've starred in that movie, and I've been there watching scoreboards. And he just had the right attitude. And I think he's at the right spot now to get out there on tour. It's going to be interesting this year with the limited number of events, if you will, or a shorter schedule, how much playing time these rookies are going to get before that new four tournament session.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I agree with that. They have to feel good about the fact that guys like Steve Stricker are saying, I'm going to play less. Rory says, I'm going to play less. We don't expect Tiger to play an awful lot, but even still, they have to get an entire year's work into about a semester and a half as compared to those who've come before them.
Yeah, and I think it's probably obviously tougher, even though we've seen the last couple of years some guys just come out and have success. This new attitude that guys have, I remember when, you probably got your first tour card, you just wanted to keep the card.
Yes.
I just want to keep doing this. These guys, they just want to win golf tournaments. It's a totally different mentality. We saw it starting to happen in the junior ranks and at the college ranks, and it really has transformed. So, I think he's got a chance to have a really good year. Scott Langley, just keep that name in the back of your mind, and maybe when you're perusing the scores, just see how he's doing.
You brought him to my attention. I guess it was a couple of years ago when I was going to cover a web.com event, what's now the web.com tour for the Golf Channel, and you said, keep an eye on this kid. Go watch him hit some balls. And, he's just like all the others in that the ball starts out really fast. It goes really far. It doesn't curve a whole lot. And because I think so many of today's young players are so similar in their physical abilities and the physical attributes to their game, it's going to come down to that attitude that you were talking about as to who has success and who finds himself back in that series.
Well, I think you've nailed it there. I mean, we know about how mental the game is and how, the guys try and even fool themselves to thinking they're in the right spots going into tournaments. I think it's going to be huge. And that's the thing that stuck out with me about him. We've all seen guys that can hit it forever and, shoot 62. But he carries himself a little bit differently. And he just, he's a very smart player. I look at a guy like Webb Simpson and the way he kind of handles himself and carries himself and conducts his business, kind of like Scott. So I think that's a guy that he should look at and say, boy, I'm a little like him. Maybe I'll have the success I've had. But attitude is half the battle.
No question. We're talking to Jay Randolph Jr., who I spent many hours in the broadcast booth with, and learned a couple of very valuable lessons from him. I will never forget doing a live coverage, and during the live coverage, particularly on Thursday and Friday, in that transition between the morning wave finishing and the afternoon wave getting underway, there's a little bit of downtime. And Junior made reference to something going on in the world of golf. This is long before McGinnis on Tap. And I didn't know what he was talking about. And, I mean, it was Colin Montgomery had spouted his mouth off or something, you know, not too out of the ordinary in the world of golf. And I realized right then that it's not just the research for the tournament that you have to do. You need to know pretty much everything that's going on. I've never forgotten that. I've never told you that before, Junior.
Well, I always wanted to do what you did, as hard as it was. I wanted to be out there, and I just think that I've been fortunate enough to be around it at a high enough level. Damn, I wish I could have made some more putts. But, you start finding some booze and women, and you can steer your game the wrong way. But I've always thought, and some people can play through it, and God bless them that can. But, you know, I've always felt like I kind of had a sense of what was going on out there. And, you know, I know too much about some of these guys that are out there playing without really knowing them. But it gives you a little sense of the game itself. And there's so many great aspects to the game. And, you know, it's so great that there's a radio station to talk about it. We got all this coverage, and I think it's going to be a great year. It's got the makings of a great year. We've obviously got the Rory Tiger thing. I don't think it's necessarily a rivalry. I think what it is is the best player, maybe one of the best players of all time, if not the best player of all time, being challenged by himself and this young kid from Ireland. I think it's awesome.
I do too, and what I like about it as much as anything is that they're not alone.
No,
I mean if they're going head to head at Marion and Dustin Johnson shoots 64 and wins the golf tournament on Sunday, nobody's going to be shocked by that.
No, and that's what's happened. I mean, that's what's happened in this post-Tiger domination is that, yeah, you feel like Rory's probably the best player in the world. Or, you know, you've got Luke Donald. You got this guy. Adam Scott has returned to the mix. I mean, you got so many guys, and that's what we all used to talk about. The only problem was they couldn't catch Tiger when Tiger was at his best. Now, he's not at his best. Maybe he will get back to that, and we'll see that for a couple more years. But, I mean, you know, somebody was asking me the other day, who should I take in my fantasy league? I mean, there's a ton of guys you could take. Some guy is going to have a really big year. I mean, a Fowler, a Duffner, a Bubba, a Kyle Stanley. I mean, somebody that is on the radar but hasn't, you know, taken it to the next level. That's coming.
Yeah, I think that's fair, too. You know, whether it's a Bill Haas who won a FedEx
yep.
Cup but really hasn't lived up to massive potential. I mean, Hall of Fame type potential.
Sure.
Is he coming along? Is Nick Watney, you know, there's so many of them. I think that makes it fun, especially in the post, I won't say post Tiger era, but
right.
Certainly as that era is at least reaching the fourth quarter.
And as you and I used to talk about with people when we gather around and we talk about this guy Woods, is we saw what happened in the NBA post, you know, Dr. J, Magic Bird, and then Jordan, and that they've had a little bit of a falling off. Obviously, when Gretzky shut it down, there was a little bit of a fall off, and we used to sit around and go, "Wow, what the heck are we going to do when this guy leaves?" I think what the tour is getting a benefit of maybe, you know, we always thought, you know, well, Tiger will shut it down when he gets to 20 or 22 majors or whatever, and, you know, he'll drive off into the sunset. You know, we didn't think we'd see him at the Toshiba Senior Pro-Am at 55 teeing it up. You know, he was going to go off and hide somewhere, do something else, as Earl always said he would do. But now what you've gotten to see is not only a group of young American players, but all these young players around the world, and even some of those guys that were young when Tiger was dominating, they're getting into their 30s and 35, some of the prime ages for them. I mean, the competition now is at its highest level ever, I think. I really do.
Yeah, I don't think there's – I think that some of the old guard – might argue.
Here's the thing. It's always a debate for me. You know, I think that probably during, if you want to say, Jack's era, as opposed to Tiger's or what we've had the last 15 or 20 years, there may have been more quote-unquote world-class players. There may have been more elite players. But as you well know, there was nowhere near the depth and some of the things that we're talking about now with these guys. I mean, you know, there were guys that just made it and were rabbits and drove around and played in golf tournaments, but not like we see today.
No, and certainly not at the level we're seeing. What did you think of Rory last year at the PGA Championship? I thought this was one of the great moments of the year when he said that there was parity in golf because the equipment made players with less talent more of a force in the game. And then he went out there and won the golf tournament by 8 shots. But I thought that that was an interesting observation from a 23-year-old. You know, well, we're not talking about a 35-year-old here. We're talking about a kid that really could have just graduated from college.
That is already seeing that and having that type of belief that because of the equipment and because of all the technology and the way that guys are working on their bodies and everything, you know, and anybody that's listening that ever hit something that was made of wood, if you didn't hit it pretty solid, you were in big trouble. I mean, those OB markers were a lot more in play back in the day. It just same with the irons. I mean, you know, because you don't work at it every day, but you can still go out and carve it around. And I just don't know that we could have done that back in the day with that type of equipment. I mean, when you were off with a wooden driver, you didn't want to go to the tee. Now you get out to your car and you got the big jumbo driver and let's go play, boys.
You're right. I mean, you're absolutely right.
It's a different game.
Yeah, and the clubs don't weigh as much, so you don't have to loosen up. You're not worried about pulling something on that first tee.
No, you're right. Remember, we used to take a couple wedges out, or they had those crazy things you'd put around the weight you'd put her like we were a baseball player. I mean, you don't see that anymore on the first tee.
No. I don't know if you heard. This just popped up a little while ago. Apparently, Norm MacDonald, Saturday Night Live, Norm MacDonald, has become a golf writer.
Golf writer, just what we need, more golf writers.
Someone else to feed, indeed.
But where is he going to be read at, or is this a website?
No, it's a website. He's at Grantland.com. Which I don't know. I found it at golf.com. And I read his first post, his 2013 PGA in preview.
Mm-hmm.
He's clearly a fan.
Yeah.
And an opinionated one at that. I mean, I think, you know, we could open up the phone lines and we're going to get a lot of people who share or disagree with what he had to say. What I found interesting about it and what I've said needed to happen, whether you and I, who spend our life within the game, like it or not, is that's mainstream. Mm-hmm. Maybe Norm MacDonald needs the $100 a month that he's going to get for writing for a golf website. But
somebody that likes Norm MacDonald that you know may play once a year in a charity event might read it and might get involved. You're right. Something has had to give. We don't have the superstar that he still draws, but it's not like it was, and you can't create those things. So the more the game is out there, the more, you know, golf is talked about or diverse people write about it, the better it is for the sickos like you and I and those that listen, because we you know, golf, it's almost like hockey. You know, we got the hockey strike going on, and here in St. Louis, they're probably going to figure this thing out, and the Blues fans are going to be excited, and they're going to go back. But they're not getting any new fans, and we've got our golf fans. We know that. We've got the base, but we've got to get back to where we're growing the game, not just with people viewing it, but, you know, there aren't a lot of golf courses being built around St. Louis or around the country anymore.
Now, let me read this to you as he talks about Tiger Woods' year. Tiger Woods has proven you can be the greatest and most prolific in two things at the same time. And he continues to be a hero of every red-blooded American boy, regardless of what Gloria Allred wants you to believe. The greatest athlete who has ever lived is also the bravest, and continues the complete overhaul of his game for the fourth time. If he wins, it'll be on the ground and not in the air. It will come from putting. Bottom line, doubtful he will ever be better than he was last year, but I pray I'm wrong. I'll never not root for him. That has to make you a fan of not Norm MacDonald right there. Because I know you're a fan of TWs.
That's you're right there. That's an interesting take. And you know what? He summed it up probably pretty simply and pretty right. I mean, if you really look back at what the difference has been, more than anything, it's been the money putts. It's been the one to get within one or two and then shake up the leaderboard, or the one to put the hammer down. I mean, that, you know, everybody kind of says it. Oh, that's one he used to make. Well, you keep doing that, and you're not going to quite have the same success. I mean, I just don't know anymore, John, with the guy. I mean, he could come out and win three legs of the slam this year, or he could come out and go Grand Slam free and really begin to look like he's got almost no chance to catch Jack. I mean, he's got to get one this year.
Yeah, well, we had John Rollins on the show yesterday. Yeah. And I referred to John as still a young player in his prime. Tiger Woods gets referred to as getting old. They're the exact same age.
Yeah, but you don't. I think because of all that's been surrounded him and some of the injury and some of the intrigue about the injury and how serious it is, and obviously the swing changes, you look at Tiger as a. You look at Tiger on the back end. While you look at a guy like John Rollins and you say, heck, you know, if the stars align right, he could win three times and people would go, oh, that's John Rollins, or look at John Rollins. I mean, it's just, I think what we perceive, maybe not perceive, maybe what we really think Tiger is an aging player, and that's kind of scary.
Yeah, I'm going to, before I let you go, and I will, I promise, I'm going to throw out some names. I'm just going to give you the name of a player. You tell me what kind of a 2013 you think he's going to have.
Okay.
Bo Van Pelt.
Solid. I think he's kind of today's version of Stuart Sink, kind of that ATM machine, tons of top tens. I obviously wish he would win more, but I think he's got it figured out.
Yeah, that he does. I don't think there's any question about that. Here's a tough one, I think. How about Louis Oosthuizen?
Boy, you just don't know. I mean, a guy that looks like he could take, you know, I remember when Tom Bjorn came over and started playing, and people would see him and go, wow. I mean, I think Louis's the kind of guy that is hit and miss. I think he'll probably have some success, but he's a hard one to judge, John. That's one of the few guys I have a hard time getting a feel for.
Yeah, I like the Thomas Bjorn reference there. I like that comparison.
There you go.
That's you're bringing the heat. Absolutely. Steve Stricker has said that he's only going to play 10 events this year. What do you think he'll do in those 10?
He'll probably top 10 in 9 of them. He'll probably contend in 2 or 3. I mean, you know, this game, you talked about it earlier, a lot of it comes down to putting, and when he's got it going, he just looks at it and you think it's going in. I mean, he's consistent. He's kept himself in good shape. You know, you don't see a lot of guys that are able to be an elite player, fall off the face and come back and be an even better player. So I think, you know, Strick will do okay. Strick will do as good as he wants to do.
Yeah, I think that's I think that is fair. He epitomizes the John Wooden quote about not worrying about the things that you can't control, maximize the things that you can.
Absolutely.
How about Bubba? Bubba's our Masters champion.
Yeah, and he's out there yapping in Hawaii about having panic attacks and any of us to play golf we know that, you know, it's not panic attacks, it's just being a golfer. You know, I mean, I don't know how serious that aspect is. He's talking about the hospital. I mean, he'll probably come out win by five this week. you know, this is a guy that goes to the beat of his own drummer, I think. I think it's not overly programmed. I don't know if he and Big Ange sit in the room and decide what he's going to say, because he says some very interesting things. But, I mean, you know, with that kind of game, if he finds the right spot or, you know, he has a good practice round on a Wednesday, he could just wax him.
Yeah, he's not scared when he gets it going. And that's a big part of it. A player who may have been early in his career and seemingly has figured it out is Ricky Fowler. What do you think of Ricky Fowler this year?
I think this is a big year for him. I think a lot of guys signed in the last couple of weeks with different manufacturers, and he's, I don't know how much longer he's got at that high top dollar. I mean, he clearly is a superstar, but yet not quite performing golf-wise at the level of a superstar. And I think for a lot of the golf fans, they're ready to see him take the next step. I think he can. I'll tell you this much. We mentioned Scott Langley earlier. Langley played with him a lot down in South Florida at the Medalist, and just keeps, you know, just says people don't know how good he is. So I guess we're waiting to see truly how good Ricky is.
Yeah, I think we need to see more from him. And he admitted to me on the air at the BMW in Indianapolis that part of the reason that he had struggled so much over the last couple of months was because he had put so much pressure on himself to try to make the Ryder Cup team without having to be a pick. And
yeah,
that once it was over with and he wasn't on the team, he said it was almost as if he could relax from there and learn from what he said were some real mistakes that he made throughout the course of 2012. And when you consider he won for the first time on the PGA Tour, that's pretty cool. That, you know, he considered that a learning year.
Like to see him maybe, I mean, you know, you can't create it necessarily, but maybe a little more fire, a little more fire in the belly, a little more want, you know, not that that's going to change anything, but, you know, he knows if he wants to get to that next level, he's got to do it.
No question. How about McIlroy?
I think he is the first or second or third best player in the world for a long time. I think he's going to put together a long run and a Faldo-esque type thing. I don't think, you know, I mean, maybe he can get to double digits someday. The way he's won the two majors he's won, my goodness. I mean, and could have three legs sewn up real quick if he wouldn't have fallen apart at Augusta. But I think, John, he's kind of he's a pro. I think he's going to be around for a long time. I think, you know, he's going to be one of the usual suspects at the majors. And I think he's going to focus a little bit more on the U.S. soil events. So I think he'll have a solid year.
I just got a instant message from behind the glass that said Facebook's response was that Rory wins two majors this year and no American wins a major.
A couple of
curious things about that. One, I didn't know we had a Facebook page.
Congratulations.
But two, that's a distinct possibility.
Yeah, it is. I like to look at the U.S. side a little bit more in higher regard maybe than some others. But, I mean, they're still out there. I mean, they're still your foreign guys. Justin Rose hasn't won a major. Is he going to get one? Obviously, Westwood's still battling. You don't know. Luke Donald. I mean, you got a lot of characters out there away from U.S. soil that you probably put ahead of some of the guys. Dustin Johnson. You know, Webb Simpson's a guy now that has proven it. But, you know, is Matt Kuchar ever going to get one? That's not a bad call. I don't like thinking about that, but that might be right.
Yeah, that was Ben in Decatur who sent that into Facebook. Phil Mickelson, what do you think of Phil in 2013, Junior?
Boy, I think he's only. I think he's a short window guy in terms of being elite, and what I mean by that is probably three to five years max. I just think, you know, he's got other stuff probably that he wants to do. His kids are getting older, so these next couple of years, I think if he's got anything left, and what I mean by that, anything left, I mean big time motivation. I mean getting up in the morning at majors and hitting chips with Dave Pelz watching and doing all the stuff he does. This is it, and I think he probably knows it. I just don't know how much he's still got left. I'd love to see him win another major championship. Love to somehow, if the planets align right, see him at least in contention at a British to see how he'd handle that.
Yeah, I'm going to throw this at you. I think that he's at the point in his career that Marco Mera was when he was spending all that time with Tiger.
Yeah.
And came out and had the best year of his career. Phil's spending a lot of time with Keegan. I've said that on the air here a few times. If it's going to happen, I think 2013's the year.
Yeah, and he'll. You're probably right. I mean, this is, you know, you're getting it that you're closing the window on a guy that's had an incredible career. That also, you know, we talk so much about Tiger having a knowledge and a wealth of knowledge for the game. So does Phil. And Phil knows that he's still got a chance to secure himself, you know, solidify himself maybe as one of the top 10 of all time.
Yeah, I agree with you. I completely agree with you. Junior, I love spending time with you. And I want the listeners to know that had Junior and I not been on the air, just sitting at a bar contemplating a dinner menu, the conversation would have been very much the same as what you just heard.
It definitely would have been, and we'd have always been nice to the waitress.
But we probably would have picked on Carney and Fred a little bit in there.
No question about it. My man, it should be fun when the tour starts tomorrow. I'll talk to you soon, and you know what? I'll see you this year.